some people hear the word Christianity, they think about rules of holiness, a list of rules of holiness that must be followed to make us acceptable to God. Now that's false. That's a false concept. A right relationship with God is based on grace. Grace through faith. And we know that, and we teach that. But still, sometimes we're perceived, Christianity is perceived as a kind of a religion of rules and a list of rules for holiness. Well, that right relationship that we have by God through faith is going to produce holy conduct that might match a list of rules, but it flows out of grace. And it proves that the life that has faith is genuine faith. It's not just, well, I believe so, I think so, but it's true faith that produces that holy conduct through the grace bestowed upon us. Now, Christian faith is meant to bestow freedom. It's not meant to bind us to things that are not conducive to holy living, or even to bind us to things that look like holy living, but we can't keep those laws. We keep failing at those laws. God wants to produce freedom in the Christian life. And so the church tries to regulate, many times, tries to regulate holiness by making these lists, or making these rules, and a strict conduct or restricted conduct, and activities that we should be doing but we're not doing, we need to be doing these. And some of these things aren't even in Scripture. Well, this text that I'm going to read is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version because it mentions this idea of the Spirit of Liberty. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This text can help us to see the way that true holiness happens in our lives. It's not by our effort of making a list of rules and then trying to keep those rules. Now, down through history, we've seen different lists of rules that have been made. And sometimes they've been scrapped, and sometimes they've been resurrected, and then sometimes they've been scrapped again, as society changes, as culture changes. But the image of Christ and the image of the God of love in Christ has never changed. And that standard of holiness remains. I'm going to read this text one more time about this freedom that is the Holy Spirit's guidance. This freedom is the Holy Spirit's guidance in spiritual transformation. I'm going to read this scripture again, but I'm going to read it out of the New Revised Standard Version where it mentions the word freedom. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a way of doing things, but so does the world. The world has a way of doing things too. And first I want to look at the way the world looks at things. The world looks at things by works. Works is how to start out and get the job done. Do the work first and then you get the reward. And that's how the world looks at it. They say, everything that is worth anything, you have to pay something. For everything that's worth anything, you have to pay something. That's worldly wisdom. I mean, I sort of have heard that a lot of different ways. You know, if you really want something good, you're going to have to pay the rest. If you want quality, you're going to pay for it, right? And there's a lot of things like that, that are sayings like that in the world that talk about your payment. You've got to pay for this, you know. And we're raised with that wisdom, and sometimes it works out for us. But it doesn't always match God's way of doing things. It seems right, and some people will say this is stupid if you don't, you know, if you don't follow that wisdom. But it's not always the way of grace. Grace is not necessarily a worldly virtue. Now, when grace happens, when people manifest grace, why the world says, oh, why, that's amazing. Let's take note of that, and we'll put it in the newspapers and everything. But it doesn't have a very good habit of teaching how to live by grace and how to be a gracious person. It really says, you're going to have to pay your way, you know. And then it also says, you owe me one. If you've ever done anything for anybody, the end, it looks like grace at the very beginning. Oh, you're doing that for me. Yes, it's now you owe me one. In other words, I've got one up on you. You know, you owe me. You owe me for that. I've given something. I've scratched your back. Now it's time for you to scratch my back. Now, the world says that. The world says, I have given. Now I deserve to receive back. I really didn't get it. You know, volunteers have a hard time with this sometimes. They volunteer, and it's just supposed to be voluntary. It's supposed to be by grace, right? But after a little while, you just keep volunteering, and you don't get anything back. And you say, you sort of get frustrated. It's a worldly thing. Grace is hard unless there's a flow from the Holy Spirit. But that just makes that grace accessible. And you can volunteer all your life and keep doing and letting it flow and never say, I don't care. It doesn't matter if anybody scratches my back. I just want to keep working. I just want to keep serving. You know, that's the attitude of the servant's heart. Well, that is the way God is. That is God's way. You see, he says this in Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, actually, Jesus said this. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Even the tax collectors are doing that. You know, if we're just giving out and serving so that we can have our back scratched, we're not doing anything differently than the world always does. You owe me one. Well, that's not the way that God does it, because He loves. Even if He's not loved in return, He still loves. God so loved the world, He gave. He gave. But this idea of you owe me one, that is the basis of a kind of a rules and regulations spirituality. That's the kind of a basis of you owe me one. You know, man wants to organize salvation, and man wants to organize and maybe codify and make into a code of holy conduct this idea of sanctification. But we see that this is not the way of God. If you look back when Jesus was talking, he many times said, you teach this, but this is what the truth is. You teach this. What was he referring to? Well, he was referring to the early Jewish Talmud. It was a group of writings that had a lot of rules in the writings, and those rules were rules that tried to keep you from ever getting close to breaking the law. And I was talking to someone about this, about how that you're not supposed to feed a kid in its mother's milk. That was one of the laws that God had made. Do not boil a, it's almost like a disrespectful thing, do not boil a baby goat in the milk of its mother. Now, it didn't say it couldn't boil it and feed it in the milk of another goat. But it became in the Jewish custom that, well, we're not even going to put milk and meat together. Let's not even do it. I mean, and it became so far that it became a law, and it's a strict law. And if you break that, it's now a sin. And Jesus was saying, that's not even in the law. That is not even in the law. But a rule has been made, and they've been accepted, and they've been adopted, and they've been applied. And then they become a mentality, and if you break that rule, that's a man-made rule, it becomes sin. Do you see what happens if we make rules that are outside of God's will? And we try to make codes of man-made rules of behavior, but these are a you-owe-me one to God in many ways. If I will keep this rule list, then God owes me a blessing. to see it's a worldly way of thinking. To the world, this makes perfect sense. You do good work. Therefore, if you keep doing those good works, you will become holy. And if you become holy, then you will be accepted by God and receive salvation. And you know that the world thinks that way. Many people will say, yeah, I've done my job, I've worked good enough, I'm holy enough, God will accept me, I'll have salvation. It's the way of a worldly thinking. It's you only one God. But God bestows salvation as a starting point. It is not the end result. No, no, no. The salvation is a gift. It's the starting point. And out of the starting point of salvation comes a holy life also as a gift of God, as a supply from the Holy Spirit. And then out of that holy life and holy heart come works of righteousness that are acceptable to God. It starts with salvation. It goes through holiness and it becomes a work. It's totally the exact opposite of the way that it just reverses it totally, the way the world thinks. God has a different way of doing things, you see. The world has its way, and God has his way. His way is grace as the starting point. Now, grace is undeserved favor. We don't deserve grace. It just comes to us from God. And it's part of God's character. In that same passage from Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, it says this is what Jesus says. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Because that's how your Father is. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. No strings attached. He just does it. He's a gracious God. He is called the God. He is called many times providence because he provides. But there is something attached. It's love. It's love attached. And grace is a relational thing. It's not a regulatory thing. It's not a list of rules and regulations. It is a relationship thing, a relational thing. There are rules for God's children. Those are called family rules. Just like when you're raised, maybe your family does little things a little different than other families. It's part of the family rule. And they're rooted not in just regulatory things, they're rooted in a relationship with the family. And that's how God's rules are in Scripture. They're for his people. They're a family relationship. Salvation comes by a relationship with Christ through faith. Through faith. That is holy grace. That relationship is given to us. It's not something we earn. And then also this idea of holy living, this idea of sanctification, this big word, sanctification, really all it means is a holy life. It means living a sanctified life. That also comes by grace, through a relationship with the Holy Spirit, where he is working in your life. As the Spirit, as it says here, the Spirit of freedom. The Spirit of freedom. God brings us into a direct relationship with God, and that liberates us from man-made obligations that is supposed to get us into a relationship with God. You see, if you have the relationship, you don't have to try to make the relationship happen. It's there, and it's out of the relationship that flows this holy life, this acceptable living. It liberates us from these man-made obligations. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, in the King James Version, it says this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." What is this yoke of bondage? Well, it's very interesting what this yoke of bondage, the example that Paul is talking about, that this yoke may be many other things. But in this one case, he's talking about circumcision. Now, if you go back in the Old Testament, you find that circumcision was a ceremonial requirement obligatory of all of God's people, Jewish males. It was obligatory that there was circumcision in that society.
Now Paul is saying, those people who are trying to get you Gentile Christians circumcised, they are trying to put you under a yoke of bondage because the law has been fulfilled in Jesus. What you need to do now is to follow the liberty in Christ. The liberty in Christ. And God has bestowed on us the glory, His glory, freely. You know, it says we fall short, by sin we fall short of the glory of God. But God has given us that through Christ so He can bestow on us that glory again. Now, it's innocent. It's not ours. Well, it is ours by gift, but it always remains connected with Him. It cannot be a separate gift. It is still God's glory all the time. Even though we are given God's glory, it's not ours by itself. It remains His glory, but it's in us. And we possess it as a gift, as a grace. And that's so important because, you see, it eliminates this endless struggle to try to gain your own personal glory. It will never happen. It's impossible because your own personal glory cannot exist. You have fallen short of God's glory through sin. If you're going to have glory, it's going to be through Jesus. It's going to be through Him. It's going to be through a relationship with Him, and it always remains Him. So this freedom that we're talking about through the Holy Spirit, it breaks the addiction addiction that people have of establishing my own glory, trying to be acceptable to God by my good works, by my keeping this list of rules. Pursuing personal glory is an endless prison because it's an impossibility, and the Holy Spirit sets us free from that. Freedom is the Holy Spirit's guideline for spiritual transformation. So how does this happen? How can we have this freedom? How does the Holy Spirit produce this spiritual transformation, holiness in us? And it's never achieved by rule keeping. We cannot achieve it by keeping rules. It's only achieved by walking in the Spirit. Again, in Galatians chapter 5, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, that's what by holiness we're trying to avoid. We're trying to avoid the things in our lives that would cause us to lust after the flesh and go after things that are falling short of the glory of God. We can only have that by walking in the Spirit, not by saying, oh, I want to keep this list of rules. And then if you keep the list of rules, you have to keep adding on to it because maybe you're failing in this area, you're failing. We need another rule. We need another rule. And pretty soon we've got a Christian calendar like the Jewish people have. And God says, that's not the law. There is a perfect law, but it is the law of liberty that James talks about. And when we look into that law, we are transformed. What is that law? That law is Christ. That law is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Pentecost came to the church so that we could actually experience the Spirit of Truth. Not just hear about Him, not just study about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, but that we could actually experience walking in the Spirit and have that liberty and have that Spirit of Truth set us free. Now, the truth of the gospel sets sinners free, but man contrives truth, so-called truth. Man contrived truth sets no one free. In fact, it can cause bondage. It can cause a yoke of bondage. Christian missionaries in the past were unwittingly, they brought to the cultures that were naked cultures, where people didn't have clothing and the heat, they just, that's the way they lived. And they said, we're bringing them the gospel, but we're also bringing our Western clothing to them. Unwittingly, they were bringing them an addictive bondage later on in the history of those cultures, an addictive bondage to pornography. If you think about that, you'll see why. They had no problem with the human body before that time. Once it was clothed, then there became problems.
And some of those problems I've heard about, I can't get into the story, where a pastor had to deal with it because there was so much of his people, even ministers themselves, going outside of their marriage because of their women not even taking their clothes off in front of their husbands. And they said, why is this? He says, well, because that's not right. We're never supposed to be naked. Well, that was taught by the missionaries. They didn't mean to teach it that way. And I bet you when you get to heaven, talk to some of those past missionaries. I bet you'll say, you know, we obeyed the Lord, and we took the truth. But we didn't know that we were actually bringing those people into a bondage. We didn't know that was by bringing and making our clothing an obligatory thing. And now missionaries are not doing that. Almost every mission board teaches their missionaries, do not change those cultures. Let them remain intact. If the Holy Spirit wants to change things, let the Holy Spirit do it. But you're not to bring them this legalism, because that's the Holy Spirit itself. Bring them just the truth, and the truth will set them free. Now, circumcision sounds good. You can get all kinds of reasons for circumcision, and it sounds good. Sabbath keeping sounds good. Abstinence from alcohol sounds good. And there's a whole list of Christian rules that you could make that say, oh, these all sound, but they cannot bring us any closer to God. They cannot. By keeping this list of rules, we have to have a relationship with God, and it's out of that relationship that all of those other things can come or not come, depending on how the Holy Spirit leads us. But spiritual transformation happens as the Holy Spirit of freedom brings us face to face with Jesus Christ. And that's what the scripture says. All of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a lot of standards. The Holy Spirit has one standard. And that standard that measures our spiritual progress is the standard of Jesus Christ. He is the perfect law of liberty. And each time the Holy Spirit deals with us, and we're sort of caught in a sin, maybe we've told some gossip, or maybe we've done something, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brings a conviction. You know what He's doing? He's bringing the image of Christ. It's not time for us to run. It's time for us to kneel before that image of Christ and let the glory penetrate us, so that we can be changed into the glory of the Son of God. We know where we're lacking, but we don't want to say, okay, now I'm going to make a list of rules I'm going to keep so I can keep from doing that. That's the way of the world. No. Just suffer and bask in the presence of the Son of God and say, I need you, Jesus. I need you. I don't need this list of rules to keep. I need you. And I need you in the center of my heart. You will be changed by that, because it's by grace. And God is willing to give us His glory. He's willing to let the glory shine in. He wants us to be mirrors that reflect His glory. But we must be willing to stop and just kneel and pray and just let the Holy Spirit choke us with the image of Christ. If we hold on to a list of rules that we're comfortable with, we say, oh, well, I'm comfortable with this, and I'm keeping this pretty well. There's no room for growth. There's no room for growth when we are satisfied with our spiritual life or our holy life, that we've kept this list of rules. That is not our standard. The only standard is to reflect the glory of the Son of God. Our rules cannot penetrate our hearts and make us holy. Only the glory, the transforming glory of Christ can do that. Freedom is the Holy Spirit's guideline for spiritual transformation. And it's never, ever going to be a list of rules or restrictions that sound right, but they have no basis in Scripture as a mandate. I'd like to sing this. I mean, I know that acapella singing, we had some this morning on the old rugged cross, but I'd like to sing this song acapella. And it's right from this verse. And I don't think I've heard it for years, but I think I can sing the melody. From glory to glory, he's changing me, changing me, changing me. His likeness and image he perfect in me, the love of God shown to the world. For he's changing me, changing me, from the earthly thing to the heavenly. His likeness and image to perfect in me, the love of God shown to the world. We are changed, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the grace that he has given to us, that the Holy Spirit of liberty wants to work into us through the image of the glory of Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this liberating truth from your word. Thank you for the law of liberty which is Christ. Thank you for the spirit of liberty which leads us to face to face with Jesus, our one standard, who has fulfilled the law with all its requirements and laid it down as a standard, and now stands solely before us as the standard we are to follow. Help us, Lord, to follow you and to listen to your Holy Spirit. And when we have that conviction, to stop and wait before you as we soak in the glory that's revealed in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.